is local news for Tuesday, December 4th. I'm your host, Christian Knutson.
And I'm your host, Sarah Hopeful. In tonight's news, Republican lawmakers could vote on legislation to limit the powers of the incoming Democratic governor and attorney general.
The lame duck session at the Capitol is drawing growing ranks of protesters from around the state.
The UW political science professor who says these moves erode public faith in democracy and representative government.
This is Christian Knutson and Sarah Hopeful with your local news. Wisconsin Republican Statehouse lawmakers spent most of the day locked in backroom negotiations over a series of last-minute bills they're hoping to pass before Governor Scott Walker leaves office. These bills would sharply limit the power of the newly elected governor and attorney general, who are each Democrats, and concentrate more power in the Republican-controlled state legislature. These bills are now on a familiar fast track, first made public late last Friday, debated in committee last night, and scheduled for full votes in both the Senate and Assembly sometime today, despite public protests from citizens and Democratic lawmakers, as well as objections from the healthcare industry, environmental groups, and good government groups. Republicans are plowing ahead. Nina Kravinsky has more.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says this extraordinary session is needed to restore balance of power between the governor and the legislature. But he didn't shy away from saying he wanted to keep Republican legislation in place under a Democratic governor.
We did have an election. Whether everyone here likes it or not, I respect the fact that Tony Evers is the governor and he's going to be starting on January 7th. But he's not the governor today.
The Assembly is due to vote today, though it's been delayed all afternoon. The Senate took up the bills this afternoon, also after several days. Senate Republicans approved more than 80 last-minute staff appointments over the objections of Governor-elect Evers. That includes two appointments to the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. Many of the appointees didn't receive a public hearing, prompting sharp words from Democratic Senator Lena Taylor of Milwaukee.
Are those the normal procedures that normally happen when individuals are not sore losers from the election?
That spurred laughter and jeers from onlookers in the gallery, which prompted Senate President Roger Roth to kick them all out.
I laid out the rules ahead of time to the gallery and to all of our guests here, and I'm going to ask the Senate Sergeant at Arms to clear the gallery and the Senate will stand informal.
Senators voted across party lines to approve all the appointments. Regular citizens aren't the only ones speaking out against last-minute Republican measures. Former Governor Jim Doyle called these moves by the GOP unprecedented. He says the transition from Republican Governor Scott McCallum's administration before him was much smoother.
And he actually made a point at that time of saying that he felt that it was important for the public to see that democracy works. And even when he was on the losing end of that, he was committed to making sure that people understood that it's our democracy that matters more than whether one party or another happens to be holding on to power.
Prior to being governor, Doyle served as attorney general for more than a decade, a position Republicans are attempting to make less powerful in their sweeping proposals. Doyle says he was able to work well with Republican Governor Tommy Thompson, even when they disagreed politically.
Never once did Governor Thompson, who for a period of time during those 12 years had an entire Republican legislature, never once when he was angry with the attorney general, did he ever go to the legislature and say, let's curtail the attorney general's power. Never once did that happen.
One of the proposals allows the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, rather than the attorney general, power to intervene in lawsuits that involve the state. The Finance Committee, like the rest of the legislature, is Republican-controlled. Midwest environmental activist lawyer Sarah Greer says that could impact the kinds of settlements they're involved in.
This would allow the Joint Committee on Finance an opportunity to oversee the process and, you know, maybe reject a settlement offer that the parties agreed to, which would just, you know, prolong litigation and clog up the courts, and, you know, basically would insert the legislature into the Department of Justice or the AG's office.
The bills would also allow state officials to hire their own private attorneys on state-related lawsuits rather than use the state attorney general. Both chambers are expected to continue debating late into the night. I'm Nina Kravinsky.
The GOP lame duck measures drew hundreds of protesters to the Capitol last night. For some, it was their first ever political protest, while for others, it evoked the historic Act 10 demonstrations in 2011. Protesters return today as lawmakers convene for sessions that can go until midnight or beyond. Some even heckled the governor when he was introduced at the Capitol's Christmas tree lighting ceremony. Your reporter Cameron Wren has more on the protests.
Monday night, hundreds of protesters stormed the Capitol to demonstrate their opposition to what they call a power grab by the party that lost control of the executive branch. In a rare lame duck session, Republicans are pushing bills that could prevent incoming Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call from implementing key parts of their platform that they campaigned on. James Corlack of Lake Mills says that he is dissatisfied with how quickly the bills are moving through the legislature.
I oppose the fact that they're passing these power grabs like over the weekend without letting people say anything and just ignoring the will of the voters.
Julianne Zweifel from Madison says a smooth transition of power is essential to democracy.
I'm really concerned about the lack of a peaceful transition of power. Peaceful transition of power is really the foundation, one of the foundations of our democracy. And what's happening now is a power grab, and it's entirely to the benefit of the Republicans. If they'd actually been concerned about there being too much power for the governor or the attorney general, they had 8 years to enact something, and they didn't do it. This is clearly a power grab.
Zweifel says though Republicans have a majority in the legislature, that does not give them a mandate to govern because they accomplished that through gerrymandering.
The Assembly was put in power because of gerrymandering. They don't actually represent the majority of Wisconsinites, and this is just furthering that problem.
Catherine Martin of Madison says legislators are not listening to the will of the people.
Catherine Martin and I just, you know, the people voted, and they're just not listening to the will of the people. And, you know, here we are again after Act 10, and nobody listened to us then, and hopefully they'll listen to us now, but it's not looking good.
Marilyn Malott from Beloit says she doesn't buy the argument from Republicans that the bills are about balancing power.
I believe the conservative point of view is rebalancing the government. I think that's kind of hogwash, because if they felt like it needed to be rebalanced, why didn't they do this before a lame duck session?
Charlie Farmer, also from Beloit, said today was his first time he'd ever protested anything.
In America, want to restrict votes. It's not believable. Not in my America.
Governor-elect Tony Evers condemned the bills and says he is exploring a legal challenge should they be passed in the legislature. I'm Cameron Brent. Will Keneally contributed to this report.
Political scientists often study voter and lawmaker behaviors and report on it after the fact. But now, as state lawmakers consider radically changing the balance of power in Wisconsin state government, some of these political scientists are speaking out about what they see as threats to our democratic system itself. They're taking to Twitter, they're writing op-eds for newspapers, and they're telling anyone who will listen that the current actions at the Capitol by the Republicans could have very long-term consequences. University of Wisconsin-Madison political science professor Mike Wagner is one of those professors. Anita Kravinsky caught up with him earlier today.
We have UW political science and journalism professor Mike Wagner on the line. He's an expert on the intersection of politics and public opinion. And he's here to talk about this lame duck session that's happening in the legislature right now. Professor Wagner, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, okay, a lot of stuff is in this slate of bills. But what if you were to have to choose one thing that you think is the worst, what would it be?
I would say, I guess I'll answer it by saying there's a principle, like a violation of a principle that I would say is the worst, and that's changing the job descriptions of the governor and attorney general in between Election Day and Inauguration Day. Changing some of the powers of the governor is problematic, and making it so the attorney general might not actually be the state's lawyer in law cases, if the state legislature makes another decision that they want to spend taxpayer dollars to hire someone else to do that, even though that's the attorney general's job. I would say those are the two things that look like they're still in play, right? The moving of the proposed moving of the primary was also problematic from an expense and a democratic accountability standpoint, but it looks like that one isn't going to happen.
Right. And so, you know, you study public opinion and politics. What does your research show? What kind of an effect could this have in a broader sense than just the language of these bills?
Right. In their 2002 book, Stealth Democracy, John Hibbing and Beth Tice Morse find that people really hate it when lawmakers feather their own nest and increase their own power at the voters' expense. And voters are really likely to interpret what's happening now as that kind of behavior, where lawmakers are explicitly saying, this is Speaker Voss and Majority Leader Fitzgerald in the Wisconsin State Legislature, are explicitly saying they want to increase their power. Sometimes they frame it as restoring the balance of power, but it's not clear from what they're restoring it. But they say they want to increase their power and give themselves a better chance to win elections. That's the kind of stuff that voters really look at negatively. They see it as a usurpation of what they voted for. Of course, the election was really close, and Republicans hold majorities in the state legislature, and so it's not the case that there's a clear mandate for what it is the people want, but the people chose two people to lead the state in executive positions, and in between the date that they were chosen and the date that they'll take office, the legislature is seeking to change the rules of the game because their side lost.
Right. And so this is kind of a tough question to answer. Obviously, you're not a mind reader, but, you know, these Republicans are elected officials, too. You know, 16,000 odd people in Burlington voted for Robin Voss. Is this,
absolutely,
you know, does that matter? Does this kind of thing matter to them?
Well, I don't know. I presume that they're pretty happy with Speaker Voss, you know, and many of the Republicans who win in Wisconsin, you know, in the legislature, won fairly easily. Some of that, and maybe a lot of that, is the result of the way that the district lines are drawn. But it's also the case that they won those elections. We had a free and fair election. People knew when the election was going to be. People signed up to run. The Republicans won clear majorities in both the state assembly and the state senate. What's in the minds of the voters, I think, is a little different. There were plenty of people, about 13% in Wisconsin, who split their tickets between the governor's race and the Senate race. And so we know that there are people who are willing to cast votes for people in both parties. And we know that there are independents who vacillate between the two parties whenever there's an election season. And these folks are the ones who are likely to be really dissatisfied. Well, these folks in concert with Democrats. Democrats, of course, hate all of this. And then independents and people who go back and forth are also judging it pretty negatively. I suspect that some Republicans might be uncomfortable, thinking that if their situation changes, if the Democrats someday take control of the state legislature, the Democrats would return the favor and do the same thing to Republicans that Republicans are now seeking to do to Democrats. But I would imagine that most people view the world through partisan colored glasses, and I suspect that most Republicans are at least okay with this, and most Democrats strongly oppose it, and most independents are pretty uncomfortable with it as well.
Right. And so this is another, speaking of Robin Voss, he retweeted something yesterday, I think, about, you know, an article about voters not knowing about separation of powers in the Constitution. What kind of effect does that have on voters? You know, how does that play, that kind of behavior play into this?
I think a lot of it will be interpreted via what social psychologists call motivated reasoning. So my guess, based on the literature, is that Democrats will read that and say, how dare he insult the people of Wisconsin in this way? And Republicans will read that and say, he's absolutely right. We should do a better job of civic education. It's hard to know how independents will feel, but I saw that tweet too, and it's not quite clear how that's related to the proposals that are before us, but I suspect that the reaction is probably pretty partisan.
Right. And so let's get back to these proposals. You know, you talked about the kind of broad effect that these would have. You know, what other specific parts of this are you concerned about? You know, how could people potentially expect this to affect them specifically?
Well, I think a lot of people who voted for Tony Evers, who might have also had some positive feelings for Governor Walker, were people who were thinking, you know, Governor-elect Evers seems like a pretty mild-mannered person, and he seems like a person who is not going to be a part of partisan acrimony and not going to be trying to push that sort of thing that's really imbued politics in Wisconsin over the past 8 years. And so my suspicion is that people were hoping that there would be a little bit of a detente between Republicans and Democrats once Governor Evers took office, because they would have to agree on some things for legislation to get passed in the Assembly and Senate and then signed by the governor. And instead, what's happening is basically a declaration of war. And it's very hard to imagine how Democrats in the legislature and Governor-elect Evers would consider working with the other side when their beginning position is, you need to be more bipartisan, plus we're going to take a lot of your powers away.
Right. And so, you know, as we've been watching this go on yesterday and today, and it seems like a lot could change, but it also seems like it's probably not going to be over soon. What do you have any expectations in terms of lawsuits that might come from this?
It's possible. I mean, I know that I've read and heard that it's possible that people supportive of Governor-elect Evers and Attorney General-elect Call, or perhaps them themselves, would file lawsuits to try to fight some of these proposed changes that passed committees, I think, yesterday, and may well be voted on today or tomorrow. It's not clear what happens after that. It's a pretty unprecedented situation, given my own knowledge. This something like this might have happened before and gone through the courts, but I'm not aware of it.
Right. And so, you know, also there have been a lot of outside media groups. You, before we started rolling, said that you had were on the phone with someone from The Washington Post. There are New York Times journalists here. You know, what? You know, what does this mean? How is Wisconsin setting potentially an example for the rest of the country?
Wisconsin has been a flashpoint for contentious politics for the last decade. It's been a place from Act 10 forward where partisan debate, partisan acrimony, and the deep dislike between the two sides, especially at the legislative level, have actually gone, have on the one hand, kind of laid the groundwork for proposed changes that have happened in other states. And so it's the case that some states have followed Wisconsin's lead with laws related to labor unions that are similar to Act 10 and right-to-work laws and some other things that Wisconsin has done under the unified government over the last several years. But it's also been the case at the public level that politics has infiltrated and infected people's regular lives in ways that it normally doesn't, down to the friendship level. Some of the research we've done at Wisconsin shows that more than a third of people have said they've stopped talking to a friend because of their views about politics in the state. And that's pretty remarkable. That's a pretty remarkable effect. And so, you know, I guess the short answer is what Wisconsin has done in the legislature has laid the groundwork for other legislatures controlled by Republicans to follow suit. And at the same time, the acrimony that's existed has deeply affected the public in the state.
Right. And so one last question before I start to run out of time here. But, you know, as I said, you know, the country is kind of watching Wisconsin right now. And the country is also watching other states as they transition into a new administration for a lot of them. Is this normal that there's this much, you know, media attention on local and state politics, or are we seeing a shift here?
Oh, it's not normal at all. Politics in the United States has become increasingly nationalized, and so to have a focus on state politics is remarkable. The reason people are paying attention is because the power grab that's happening is virtually unprecedented.
Right. All right. Well, Professor Wagner, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. We've been talking about the lame duck bills that have been going through the state legislature this week, and we'll be following that for you know, the rest of the week and as long as there are news. So, Professor Wagner, thanks so much for chatting with me.
My pleasure.
That was Nina Kravinsky speaking with UW Madison political science professor Mike Wagner. A big thank you to Tony Castaneda for his reporting at the state capitol today.